This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Federal appeals judges on Wednesday sharply questioned whether terrorism defendant Zacharias Moussaoui can receive a fair trial while the government denies him testimony from al-Qaeda witnesses who he says could exonerate him. During a hearing on the fairness and death penalty issues that have delayed trial for the al-Qaeda operative, the judges searched for a way to resolve a clash between defendants' rights and the government's ability to fight the war on terrorism. The new president of Iraq's governing council is a Shiite cleric and former militia leader who strongly objects to a key part of a U.S. plan to give sovereignty to Iraqis by July 1st. Abdel Aziz al-Hakim is in charge only for the month of December, but his elevation to the top Iraqi office testifies to a post-Saddam Hussein regime in which a long-oppressed Shiite majority has emerged as the nation's dominant force. Addressing his first news conference Wednesday since taking over the rotating post, al-Hakim renewed his demands that a transitional legislature set to be formed by the end of May should be directly elected rather than selected from regional caucuses. George W. Bush likely will lift steep tariffs he imposed on foreign steel 20 months ago, congressional sources say. White House officials refused to discuss details of the decision, but congressional and steel industry officials, who spoke Wednesday on condition of anonymity, said they expected Bush to remove the tariffs in order to avoid the imposition of retaliatory tariffs on a wide range of American products. The 15-nation European Union has vowed to retaliate against 2.2 billion of American products by mid-December unless the United States removes the steel tariffs, which were ruled illegal by the World Trade Organization. A self-described terrorist who told jurors that people who provide abortion should be shot was convicted Wednesday on charges that he mailed envelopes of fake anthrax to women's clinics in an attempt to shut them down. A federal jury deliberated more than 3 hours before finding Clayton Wagner guilty of 51 of 53 counts, including the most serious charge, threatening to use a weapon of mass destruction. Wagner, who once made the FBI's 10 most wanted list, could face decades in prison when he is sentenced. He is already serving a 49-year term for car theft and weapons violations. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Lars Ulrich from Metallica. You know, protecting your hearing may not be something that you're thinking a lot about right now, but take it from me that after a few years of being exposed to loud music and other such things, that hearing loss and a constant ringing in your ears have become a problem for me and could also become a problem for you. If you want more information about this, call the Hear Hotline. The number is 415-773-9590.
An Israeli cat has been banned from circulating freely in the stairwell of a suburban Tel Aviv apartment building, apparently because its jet black color was frightening the residents. Its owners were told they had to cradle the cat when descending the building staircase or risk having it impounded. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved LiquiCaps.
I hate to distract you from the media's 24/7 saturation coverage of the latest Michael Jackson saga, but have you noticed that the corporate crime spree, bilking us of billions of dollars, continues to roar like an out-of-control wildfire, devouring industry after industry? It seems like only yesterday that Wall Street, Washington, and the media were insisting that the flaming collapse of Enron, Arthur Andersen, and those other high-profile bad boys was nothing but an extraordinary exception to the norm of corporate America's high ethical standards. But, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said of a dinner guest, the louder he talked of his honor, the faster we counted our spoons. Today, the media barons bury the stories of corporate finagling, but hardly a week goes by without another major corporation or entire industry being caught in a flare-up of corruption, self-dealing, fraud, or other thievery, ripping off small investors, looting pension funds, scamming taxpayers, and generally taking care of number one. Take a recent 2-day period, for example, in which 3 wildfires of corruption burst out. Lord Conrad Black, a right-wing British press baron who controls the Chicago Sun-Times and other media holdings, was found to be illegally siphoning millions of corporate dollars into his own pockets. Coincidentally, Lord Black's accounting firm, KPMG, also was squirming at this same time in front of a U.S. Senate committee, for it has been caught reaping millions in fees for sleazy tax shelters it designed to help its rich clients escape paying their taxes. Then, on the same day, an undercover FBI sting found that some of Wall Street's biggest banks, including J.P. Morgan, had been rigging currency trades and pocketing kickbacks while bilking small investors. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to admit that the corrupt exceptions have become the corporate norm and that nothing will change without fundamental reforms in our entire corporate system.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio, as I fondly refer to this network. Thank you for joining us tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. And if you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Time permitting, we'll play Guess the Word of the Day with Simple Scotty McClellan, holdover from yesterday about steel tariffs. We just flat ran out of time last night. Also, Simple Scotty today gives up the third lie about Bush's trip to Iraq. That's a couple of fun sound bites you're going to like. Joining us next hour will be Ellen Mariani and her attorney, Phil Berg. She is the woman who has filed the RICO lawsuit against George W. Bush over the death of her husband on September 11th, 2001. But before we get to the stuff that is chilling and makes us all nervous to even be drawing breath, few other items here. The England has an office, a government office. It's called the Deputy Minister for Women and Equality. Did you know that? I did not. The minister of that bureaucracy is one Jackie Smith. She said last week that 8 out of 10 people in England support, well, not just England, but in England and Wales, 8 out of 10 women, I'm sorry, 8 out of 10 people. It's been very cold and drizzly here in Atlanta today, dark and miserable. So that's, I'm probably going to be tripping all over my sentences tonight. It's depressing, you know. 8 out of 10 people support unions that grant gays legal rights equal to those of married couples in England and Wales. That's according to The Guardian of the UK. A bill including a plan for gay unions was expected to be included in the Queen's speech, I believe this week. Is it this week? And the Queen's speech is usually put together by, among other people, her ministers, and it gives Parliament an idea of what the royals would like to see passed into law, if I'm not mistaken. If you are listening in the UK and want to correct me on that, please do. A government survey found that 83% of respondents favor this plan. Jackie Smith, the Deputy Minister for Women and Equality, said same-sex couples have been invisible in the eyes of the law for too long. End quote. Of those surveyed, 74% of organizations and 84% of individuals supported the gay union plan, but out of 20 responses from religious groups, only 3 supported the measure, which would be 15%. Gays would be able to register their union at a government office according to the proposed plan, and the registration would be open to same-sex couples only and would cover England and Wales. Ah, the mother country is so, so much more advanced than we here in the colonies, is it not? I know it's not the mother company, a country unless... Well, it is. I don't care what your race or creed is. It's the country from which we severed the umbilical cord, so I guess that would be the mother country. Mike in Denver sent this to me. He says, don't know if you guys have seen this yet. Y'all ready? 99.9% of you are listening on the Internet, so you got to do this. Go to Google. Type in miserable failure in the search bar. Then click the I'm feeling lucky button and see what pops up. Okay, go to Google. In the search bar, type in miserable failure. Then click the I'm feeling lucky button. Oh, my God, you're already doing it, right? Well, okay. From Steve, our Leesville, South Carolina bureau chief. He writes in, hi, Mike, I've been a NASCAR fan for about 17 years, and there's something about the recent visit by the NASCAR drivers to the White House that's been bothering me. Now, let me step aside here for a second. What Steve is referring to, sound bites we had, when was it, Kathy? Tuesday night of Bush and the NASCAR drivers? It wasn't last night, was it? It was Tuesday night, I believe. Okay, Steve writes, in 1978, Jimmy Carter invited several NASCAR drivers to Washington to meet with him, though President Carter himself ended up not being able to attend. First Lady Rosalynn Carter hosted the drivers. The first time I heard this story, I was told that during the meeting, several NASCAR stock cars were parked on the White House lawn. If this is true, Bush is caught in yet another lie when he stated, it's the first time we ever parked stock cars on the South Lawn. Now, normally, I would let such a nitpicky thing like this go, but since I do embrace the sport like I do, it infuriates me to hear this jackass make it sound like he is some sort of pioneer in the racing world, like he is doing something that's never been done before. I'll continue to research the 1970 meeting and let you know if I'm able to verify the story I heard. Steve, Leesville, South Carolina bureau chief. Yeah, I don't think it's nitpicky at all. Bush is a liar. He lies about anything and everything. His staff lies. Every Republican lies. But it just so happens that at the top of this dung heap where Bush and his cabinet reside, the lies are about everything. Events small, medium, large, minor, it makes no difference. Speaking of lies... We talked about this the other night. According to the Washington Post, Bush was actually holding up a decoration when he held up the turkey, the plastic. There's a question circulating through the Internet now, a picture of Bush and that plastic turkey, and the caption says, how many plastic turkeys are in this picture? In other words, Bush was holding a prop, not real food, and only pretending for the cameras to be serving up the meal. Now, yesterday, it was revealed that the White House's tall tale of Air Force One crossing paths with a British Airways plane, that was entirely false. We now have 3 versions of that. Then we have the mission accomplished banner back on May 1st, when too stupid to be president stood on the deck of the USS Lincoln in front of that giant sign. And remember, he said, major combat operations have ended. And since that time, more troops have been killed and wounded than before he made that statement. Which, of course, raises more questions about his predilection for these stupid-ass photo ops. Regarding that mission accomplished thing, when asked why he chose to stand in front of that banner at a press conference about 6 months later, remember Bush said I had nothing to do with it. He said the White House staff had nothing to do with producing it. But then the Navy and administration officials admitted that Bush had been dishonest about that. And White House spokesgeek Scotty McClellan specifically said, we took care of the production of it like we have people to do those things. Now, Bush's habit of lying has not been confined to Iraq. Back in July 2002, Too Stupid to Be Anything visited a low-income housing development here in Atlanta. And that was, he was talking about his commitment to funding it, a low-income housing development. He then proposed a budget that eliminated its funding within the next 30 days. Okay? In a similar vein, you remember we talked about this often, haven't we? It seems like this is all I've talked about my entire life, and it's only been 3 years. But similarly, Bush visited a Boys and Girls Club in January 2003 to talk about that organization's efforts to keep kids off the street. He said the club, quote, has got a grand history of helping children. And then just 4 days later after this photo op, he proposed a budget that would cut the funding by the Boys and Girls Clubs by an astonishing 20%. It's just, and don't forget Boxgate. Remember when all the made in China boxes were covered with they were covered up, and in place of, on each box was placed made in the USA. Remember that? They lie about everything. Everything. Speaking of lies, I'm almost there. The Limbaugh thing. Now, I told you his career is over, and I don't make predictions, but I've been in this business long enough to know that this guy is. Blubber Man is toast. I'll get to that in a second. Got an email from Pam. Mike, I know it might be asking the impossible, but I'll give it a shot anyway. My mother is an avid listener of yours ever since your days at WLS. She now listens to you on the Internet, which she truly looks forward to and enjoys every day. She plans her evenings around your broadcast. My dad is going to get her the Sirius satellite radio system for Christmas so she can continue to listen without having to sit in front of the computer. So I was wondering if you would mind sending an autographed picture of yourself to my mother. My dad would love to include that with his gift to her. She is so involved with this political environment and shares your thoughts, I'm sure. So if you would, tell her to hang in there. I know it would make my mother's Christmas. And then I got a second email from Pam. Forgot to tell you in my last email my mother's name. It's Corrine Kucharski. So if you are so inclined to send her an autographed picture, I would appreciate it. Well, I had to write back to Pam. I don't have any autographed pictures. The network that I work for has been so cheap that they have decided not to provide the funds for autographed pictures. The last time I had pictures was when I worked at WLS. And since I don't work there anymore, obviously, I don't have them. And it would be fraudulent, Pam, for me to send your mom, Corrine, a picture that was taken 7 or 8 years ago. As a matter of fact, the picture of my Internet site was taken. When was that taken? Let me see. That was taken about 8 years ago. Since that time, I have gotten old and wrinkled, as anyone who has seen me on MSNBC or CNN or these other garbage networks will attest in a heartbeat. Okay, maybe not old, but certainly wrinkled. Limbaugh. According to the AP, Limbaugh told the listeners on his radio show today that prosecutors in Palm Beach County investigating possible illegal drug transactions against him have seized medical records of 4 doctors who provided him with prescriptions before they stopped and he had to go to the street to get his drugs. Limbaugh, reading from a statement prepared by his attorney Roy Black, denied any wrongdoing and accused prosecutors of going on a, well, here's an original phrase, a fishing expedition. Now, previously, law enforcement sources in Palm Beach County confirmed that a criminal investigation into a prescription drug ring involved Limbaugh. This guy's toast. This guy's going down, and it's going to be great fun to see. And if he goes to prison, I'm sorry. I may burn in hell for this. Well, that's right. There is no hell. But on the day he goes to prison, if I have to, I'll get on a Greyhound and be at the prison gates so I can tip my hat to this thug when he walks in. More on this story in just a moment. Stay with us.
is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
The Mike Molloy Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush.
Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy.
You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Listen, there's all kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
24 past the hour. So Rush Limbaugh is now the a serious target of a couple of investigations. The prosecutors in Palm Beach County, where Limbaugh owns his $24 million oceanfront mansion, confirmed that a criminal investigation into this drug ring did involve Limbaugh. His attorney, the noted criminal defense attorney Roy Black, said, quote, "What these records show is that Mr. Limbaugh suffered extreme pain
and had legitimate reasons for taking pain medication. Unfortunately, because of Mr. Limbaugh's prominence in well-known political opinions, he is being subjected to an invasion of privacy that no citizen of this republic should endure. Oh, Jesus, God. Excuse me while I go to the bathroom across the hall and throw up. Now, prosecutors, of course, have made it very clear that Limbaugh's precious rights have been scrupulously protected. Yes, indeed they have. Limbaugh is a thug, a liar, a drug-addled freak, and somebody who's been involved in the black market drug trade for God knows how long, in addition to money laundering. But, of course, that's why you pay a criminal attorney like Roy Black the big bucks. Oh, no citizen of this republic should have to endure this!
The attorney says, we won't speculate on why the state attorney's office is handling Mr. Limbaugh's case the way it is,
but what should be a responsible investigation is looking more and more like a fishing expedition.
Oh, God. Yeah. A spokesman for the state's attorney's office declined to comment. And as you know, last month, law enforcement source said authorities were also investigating whether Limbaugh illegally funneled money to buy his illegal painkillers. The authorities learned 2 years ago during an investigation of U.S. Trust Bank in New York that Limbaugh withdrew cash 30 to 40 times from his account at amounts just under the $10,000 bank reporting requirement, ABC News reported last month. A bank employee was reported to have delivered some of the cash to Limbaugh at his studios in the
EIB Network Building in New York,
which is really the ABC broadcast building, which means ABC's property was used for illegal drug deals. How's that? The follow-up to this story from the Palm Beach... No, this is also from Associated Press. Investigators who raided the offices of Rush Limbaugh's doctors, plural, said in search warrants filed today that the pig man engaged in illegal drug use and what's referred to as doctor shopping for prescription painkillers. As one of my emailers sent in, don't we all shop around for painkillers to four doctors on any given weekend? What's wrong with that, right?
The warrants, which name four doctors and several prescription drugs, show investigators were looking for records, including prescription disbursements, appointment schedules, receipts, and a medical questionnaire when they raided the offices on November 25th. One of the warrants, signed by Asim Brown, a law enforcement agent assigned to the state attorney's office's anti-money laundering task force, said Mr. Limbaugh's actions violate the letter and spirit of the law that relates to doctor shopping. Doctor shopping refers to looking for a doctor willing to prescribe illegal drugs or prescribe drugs illegally. Let me make sure I have the right modifier or the right, never mind. Now, again, Limbaugh denied any wrongdoing. The records seized include prescriptions for Norco, Niacin, OxyContin, Xanax, Lorset, and other medications. Sounds like Elvis Presley. The physicians named are Dr. Nathaniel Dror, Dr. Otanio de la Cruz, Dr. Lawrence Diesel, and Dr. John Murray. What's that list again? OxyContin, Norco, Xanax, Lorset, Niacin, and other medications.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory systems, cardiovascular systems, how are they functioning out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling? Why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks and strokes like people do when they get overweight and too much hardening of the arteries here?
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you, don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Coming up in about a half an hour, we'll be joined by Ellen Mariani and her attorney Phil Berg to discuss her RICO lawsuit against George W. Bush over the death of her husband on September 11th. Richard sent this in regarding our story about the Queen and the... See, I told you this was going to happen. The poll numbers from England showing that people in that country support, and Wales, support to a great degree civil unions among same-sex couples. And I said, you know, the Queen read this or will read this. Apparently it happened last week. Shows you how current we are here on the Malloy program. And I said, usually this comes as a result of conversations with members of Parliament, perhaps. But Richard, who lives there, I believe Richard lives there, right, Kathy? At the most recent state opening of Parliament, is what it's called, the Queen delivered the customary speech. The speech is written entirely by the ruling party. That would be the Liberals, that would be Tony Blair, and is delivered by the Queen. Although the Queen and the Prime Minister do meet frequently, usually on Tuesday evenings, and presumably do discuss the political questions of the day, the speech made by the Queen is always written by the ruling party. Well, thank you very much. Instant trans... Oceanic Communications. Thank you, Richard.
Rush Limbaugh.
What was that list of drugs again? It's starting to sound like the Presley thing. Rush is going to be sitting on the toilet someday and strain just a little bit too hard because some of these drugs, my understanding, make you constipated. And he's going to do what Elvis did and blow an artery, and that's it. Norco, niacin. Well, niacin is just a vitamin, isn't it? B vitamin? Norco, but it does give you, I think it's called a niacin flush. Opens up those capillaries, right? Take niacin with OxyContin. I guess you get more of a rush. They don't call him Rush for nothing. Anyway, Norco. What the hell is Norco? Somebody will do a Google search. N-O-R-C-O, Norco. We know what Xanax is. Lorset. Is that another, what? Like Vicodin? Another one? Oh, my God. OxyContin, Xanax, and, mysteriously, the two words, other medications. This guy was just a walking a drug factory, wasn't he? All apparently, after the doctors would no longer cooperate, gotten illegally. He continues to tell the brain-dead faithful listening to his program that they are prescription drugs. No, Rush, they are illegal drugs. They are only prescription drugs, you jackass, if you pick them up at the prescription desk in a pharmacy. Then they are called prescription drugs. If you pick them up in the parking lot of Denny's, they're called illegal drugs. Jackass. This guy's going down. There's no question. Chris is calling from Potemkin Village, USA. Okay. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome to the program.
Hi. Yeah, I want to apply for a job. As the desk representative from the Potemkin Village that is USA.
Desk representative from Potemkin Village, USA. You got it.
Okay.
Of course, when you call in, that will never fit in the little screen where we ID you. But
okay.
But if you'll mention it each time.
So PV desk.
PV desk. That'll work.
Yeah.
All right.
And I think I sent you an email when you were talking about pickles in England. Not seeing any protesters.
Yes, you did. That was a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you remember the definition?
Of?
The historical.
That was when Catherine the Great.
Yes.
Used to travel around and the Russian Empire, and it was in such terrible shape that they put up false fronts just to.
Well, that's actually where the term Potemkin Village comes from, because
right.
It was Prince Potemkin. He was the Inspector General.
He ran the Ministry of Truth, I believe.
That's about it. That's
right.
About the same thing. Yeah,
right.
The precursor
mm-hmm.
to the Ministry of Truth. There's a big relationship between 1984 and.
And
what's going on there.
Yes.
And just to start, I want to warn you about what's coming down the pike from the Ministry of Truth, i.e. the majority of media. You're going to be hearing about it. Jobful recovery.
Jobful recovery?
Yes.
Well, I've heard of jobless recovery.
That's right. That's yeah. right. But it's coming up right now. And I'll point you to one story in the National Review by one media whore here. Obviously, the check came through for him.
Yeah.
The Jobful Recovery Begins.
The Jobful. That's a great title.
Yeah.
I love these words. This is newspeak as if it were right out of the Ingsoc Dictionary.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know what? I prefer the Potemkin
analogy.
Analogy, because that's more what it is, because Potemkin's agents would rush ahead before Catherine got to the village.
Right.
Slap a fresh coat of paint on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Chain up all of the dirty peasants.
Hide them.
And bus in the, or wagon in, I guess.
Right, since it was the 18th century. Right.
And have the peasants in the full peasant regalia doing their little peasant rituals and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of a whip, of course.
Right.
Under pain of death.
This is one of Rumsfeld's heroes or heroines, Catherine the Great.
Actually, it wasn't Catherine the Great so much as Potemkin.
Potemkin? Well,
yeah. Catherine wanted to go out and see what was going on.
I see.
She wanted to know what the real deal was.
And Prince Potemkin did not want to hear "off with your head."
Exactly.
So he provided
and the other nobles didn't want to know. Well, because she was a reformer of sorts.
And we all know what happened to the Russian nobility.
Right. Exactly.
not a very nice scene.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, well, this was way before that. So, but basically, that's what's going on here,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Job full recovery. And this is a media
whore. Get ready, because what's that you call one of your other favorite radio show hosts, Hannity?
The Baby Jesus?
Baby Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, the memo came down from Rove.
To start using the term job full recovery.
Job full recovery.
That's like
in other words, you lost your IT job where you were making $48K a year.
Right.
And, yeah, that was really bad. It was Clinton's fault, by the way.
Right.
And now you got a job at Walmart.
That's right.
So now we're having a job full recovery.
This is from the same group that came up with the term homicide bomber.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, this. I'll look for this term, Chris, and I thank you for the heads up, and the heads up for this vast global erudite audience.
All right, thank you.
And you are now the PV, what is it, the desk clerk? Not the desk clerk.
Well, what are they? I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for the term.
Well,
you're in charge of a
working the PV desk.
Working the PV desk.
There you go.
And I'll send you emails, and I'll call in every once in a while to bring you an update on what's happening in the Potemkin Village.
That sounds great. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
You have a nice evening. Volunteers. Volunteers to work in the forefront of resistance radio. Tommy is calling from Pompano Beach, Florida. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Mike. You remember me? You tried get me into reality last week.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I know you're busy and all that stuff, but I just want to say
Well, I am at work. but part of my being at work is getting phone calls from people like Tommy.
Well, yeah, and my mom Rose wants to say she loves you to death.
Well, hi, Rose.
Anyways, that was at me and my girlfriend were at a restaurant, and I was just listening on the other side.
Yeah.
This ignorant person was trying to say the tax bracket in the 70s under Carter was 80%.
It was not true. No,
he was 9 points off. It was 71%.
No,
which he was wrong. And he was trying to say Ronald Reagan saved our economy and all that kind of crap.
Right.
And I was about to puke my chicken wings out. And I wanted to go there. My girlfriend said, don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying and he was trying to, I heard him over saying Hannity and Combs. I listen to Fox News and Hannity and Combs. It's the best news I can ever hear.
Well, when you hear that, that gives you all sorts of auditory clues to do what your girlfriend says. Stay completely away from people like that unless you are heavily armed and able and willing to use your weapon when they jump up and try to get jiggy with you.
I couldn't believe I heard that. The funny thing is I was in a Fox. I like Hannity and Combs. Put the Combs in small words like Al Franken does.
You're right.
It's oh, God, gag me, barf, puke. You know where I'm coming from, Mike, right?
I do. I know exactly where you're coming from, and I totally agree. Somebody sent me an email that said Hannity and Combs were on The Daily Show the other night.
You're kidding.
And the reason for their appearance was because apparently Alan Combs has a book out. Now, what that has to do with Hannity, your guess is as good as mine. But according to my emailer, Hannity sat there with this kind of frozen look on his face and stared at Combs. Combs is a sock puppet. He is nothing more for Hannity except Hannity's shill, and eventually will become Hannity's lunch. Because I as Limbaugh is a drug addict, and Neil Bush is a serial whoremonger, I think it will turn out that Sean Hannity is a cannibal.
No, Rush Limbaugh is a scumbag.
Well, that too, but he's you know, it's not against the law yet to be.
Oh, where's your compassionate conservatism, Mike?
To be, it's not against the law to be a scumbag. It is against the law to eat other human beings, and I think that's what Hannity eventually. That's going to be his example of hubris. You know, it, as the Greeks said, it always brings down those who think
well,
that.
Well, comes
they,
around, goes around.
Well, that too. Tommy, I'm glad you called in.
Who loves you, baby?
You do.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Ay, ay, ay. Kurt is calling from Chicago. Hey, Kurt.
Hi, Mike. Greetings from Chicago.
Hey, thank you, sir. Hey, let me. I got to ask you something. Have they lit the lights yet on Michigan Avenue downtown?
I haven't been down there. I know I was on Lakeshore Drive today, and it came to a complete standstill. So I usually try to avoid that part of town right now.
Yeah,
so.
But at Christmas, oh, my God. The Miracle Mile, not the Miracle Mile, but the Magnificent Mile, the Mag Mile. Oh, it is so pretty down there.
I think they light them right after Thanksgiving, don't they?
I don't remember. We were there for 3 years. I just remember it was awesome. I was in my 50s at the time, and to go down there, and it just makes you feel like you're 7 years old again, you know,
yeah,
to look at those. Look at those lights and go, wow, I wish I could afford to shop in the stores here on the Magnificent Mile.
There's no recession.
But anyway, the real reason you called.
You're stuck in traffic on the Dan Ryan today. And
yeah.
I have to call in that, you know, the topic seems to be Hannity. And I actually called the show, and I know you've warned me in the past about doing that.
Yeah, that's
but,
not.
But yesterday he was spewing unbelievable lies. You're talking about Gephardt talking down the economy and saying that there were no jobs.
Right.
He proclaimed he had Department of Bureau of Labor stats that said that Bush had added more jobs than Clinton had at any time in his office.
Oh, Jesus. See, it's to the point. I've been telling you this. I've been telling anyone who, you know, all 38 people who listen to this program, I've been saying they don't even bother to spin anymore. They just come out and tell absolute, total, complete lies. Bill Clinton was responsible for the creation in his 8 years, love him or hate him, of 20 million jobs. Since George Bush has been in office, this economy has lost 3 million. Now, it doesn't make any difference what Sean Hannity says. Sean Hannity is a liar. He eats worms and mud and dirt. And his grandmother was an ape. And, you know, so it makes no difference what Hannity says. But again, it's further proof that they don't even bother to spin, obfuscate, or try to put out half-truths anymore. It is all lies. Now, the reason they do it is because they know their listeners will say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Damn right.
Like sheep.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then he puts me through. After waiting an hour on hold, he finally puts me through. And I produce U.S. Department of Labor statistics of my own, saying that when Clinton left office, the unemployment rate was 4%.
Right.
And now, as of October of 2003, the unemployment rate is 6%.
Right.
How does that make Bush adding more jobs?
Right.
And he says something along the lines, well, 2% isn't that great, and even 6% is near full employment.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
I almost swerved off hit Comiskey. I don't even know.
Well, Hannity's going to get Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease from eating other human beings. So, you know, if you want to talk to him again, you better do it quickly. But I advise never to call these right-wing programs because they infest and infect you. Have you noticed your coughing or a rise in your temperature or a runny nose since you talked to Hannity?
Oh, my God. I've been in a state of disbelief ever since he just basically lied right to my face as I talked about the stats. So.
Isn't that nice? Don't you love these guys?
Yeah. One more thing about the Rush Limbaugh statement.
Yeah.
You mark my words, he's now going to be claiming he's a victim.
Oh, sure. Of course.
This is the fishing expert.
He already is. You know, Mr. Take Responsibility, every single right-winger, whether it's Neil Bush, who gets caught with women knocking on his door asking for sex, or George Bush landing on the deck of an aircraft carrier with his jock strap hiked up around his temples, or it doesn't make any difference, or Orrin Hatch, caught with his aides busting into secure computer programs, or Janklow killing people, the representative from South Dakota killing people in car wrecks. It matters not. It's always somebody else's fault. They're always victims. Hey, thanks, Kurt. I'm glad you called in. We got a break. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Take
All right.
care.
You too. Take care. We'll be right back.
If job is that if jobs are the most important part of one of my jobs, how do we encourage people to hire more people?
You got to rob Peter.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for when you.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
Doing talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Thank you, Reverend Debu and Jenny Bean, for the research on Norco. It's acetaminophen and hydrocodone. So I guess that's another, what is it, Kathy, another form of Vicodin? Another Vicodin. Jesus, boy, this guy, you talk about a hardcore drug user. Man, Rush, hey, dig it, baby. Hey, pop some pills. Incredible. Oh, well, it's Clinton's fault. Nick is calling from Warsaw, Ohio. Hey, Nick.
How you doing, Faison? I'm caroling tonight in this festival of deceit and pain we call Christmas here now.
You're caroling?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You want something you want to sing on the program?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to try to sing.
Okay. Well, okay. Can you do it in a minute and a half?
Yes.
Okay. Let her rip.
Limbaugh, the white man, has a very heavy Jones, and he just got caught shoving Oxycontin into all his ugly holes. If your mom's a junkie, Rush wants her to do time, but his own addiction ain't no big affliction. He pet the pony, now he's fine. Just listen to him babble on, his brain has turned to mush. When the Vicodin starts kicking in, you'll know why they call him Rush. Whee! Down to the draft board when called to Vietnam. Said I'd go to war, but my hiney's sore. Let me stay right where I am. But now when neocons start wars, Rush stands and waves the flag. So support the war, you ditto heads, and get your kid back in a bag.
Oh, God.
Limbaugh, the white man, finds the heat is coming down. No more radio, because he's washing dough and buying dope all over town. Bumpity bump bump, bumpity bump bump, look at Limbaugh go. Bumpity bump bump, bumpity bump bump, 12 steps in a row. And that's it.
Oh, my God, that is so good. That is great, Nick. Now I'm going to get 100 emails. Hey, where can I get that song by Nick? You know, if there's any way that you can put it in an email and send it to me so I can post it on my website so that people can download it. You don't do something that creative on this program and have people go, yawn, okay, next. People want it.
Okay, well, you got it.
Thanks, Nick.
Okay, we'll see you later.
That is great. Limbaugh the white man. All right, well, we've had too much fun this hour. It's going to get deadly serious next hour. Joining us when we return will be Ellen Mariani and her attorney, Phil Berg. They will be discussing her RICO lawsuit against Bush over the death of her husband on September 11th, 2001. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My
fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The new president of Iraq's governing council is a Shiite cleric and former militia leader who strongly objects to a key part of a U.S. plan to give sovereignty to Iraqis by July 1st. Abdel Aziz al-Hakim is in charge only for the month of December, but his elevation to the top Iraqi office testifies to a post-Saddam Hussein regime in which a long-oppressed Shiite majority has emerged as the nation's dominant force. Addressing his first news conference Wednesday since taking over the rotating post, al-Hakim renewed his demands that a transitional legislature set to be formed by the end of May should be directly elected rather than selected from regional caucuses. Federal appeals judges on Wednesday sharply questioned whether terrorism defendant Zacharias Moussalani can receive a fair trial while the government denies him testimony from al-Qaeda witnesses who he says could exonerate him. During a hearing on the fairness and death penalty issues that have delayed trial for the al-Qaeda operative, the judges searched for a way to resolve a clash between defendants' rights and the government's ability to fight the war on terrorism. George W. Bush likely will lift steep tariffs he imposed on foreign steel 20 months ago, congressional sources say. White House officials refused to discuss details of the decision, but congressional and steel industry officials who spoke Wednesday on condition of anonymity said they expected Bush to remove the tariffs in order to avoid the imposition of retaliatory tariffs on a wide range of American products. The 15-nation European Union has vowed to retaliate against 2.2 billion of American products by mid-December unless the United States removes the steel tariffs, which were ruled illegal by the World Trade Organization. A self-described terrorist who told jurors that people who provide abortion should be shot was convicted Wednesday on charges that he mailed envelopes of fake anthrax to women's clinics in an attempt to shut them down. A federal jury deliberated more than 3 hours before finding Clayton Wagner guilty of 51 of 53 counts, including the most serious charge, threatening to use a weapon of mass destruction. Wagner, who once made the FBI's 10 most wanted list, could face decades in prison when he is sentenced. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Lars Ulrich from Metallica. You know, protecting your hearing may not be something that you're thinking a lot about right now, but take it from me that after a few years of being exposed to loud music and other such things, that hearing loss and a constant ringing in your ears have become a problem for me and could also become a problem for you. If you want more information about this, call the Hear Hotline. The number is 415-773-9590.
Think twice about buying a tiny cat soft toy this Christmas. It could be made from dog fur. Members of European Parliament launched a campaign on Wednesday for a ban on imports of cat and dog fur in the European Union. An assembly member showed a fur coat made from the skins of 42 German Shepherd puppies and a rug made from the fur of 4 Golden Retriever dogs, goods bought in the EU and sold under false labels. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
I hate to distract you from the media's 24/7 saturation coverage of the latest Michael Jackson saga, but have you noticed that the corporate crime spree, bilking us of billions of dollars, continues to roar like an out-of-control wildfire, devouring industry after industry? It seems like only yesterday that Wall Street, Washington, and the media were insisting that the flaming collapse of Enron, Arthur Andersen, and those other high-profile bad boys was nothing but an extraordinary exception to the norm of corporate America's high ethical standards. But, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said of a dinner guest, the louder he talked of his honor, the faster we counted our spoons. Today, the media barons bury the stories of corporate finagling, but hardly a week goes by without another major corporation or entire industry being caught in a flare-up of corruption, self-dealing, fraud, or other thievery, ripping off small investors, looting pension funds, scamming taxpayers, and generally taking care of number one. Take a recent 2-day period, for example, in which 3 wildfires of corruption burst out. Lord Conrad Black, a right-wing British press baron who controls the Chicago Sun-Times and other media holdings, was found to be illegally siphoning millions of corporate dollars into his own pockets. Coincidentally, Lord Black's accounting firm, KPMG, also was squirming at this same time in front of a U.S. Senate committee, for it has been caught reaping millions in fees for sleazy tax shelters it designed to help its rich clients escape paying their taxes. Then, on the same day, an undercover FBI sting found that some of Wall Street's biggest banks, including J.P. Morgan, had been rigging currency trades and pocketing kickbacks while bilking small investors. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to admit that the corrupt exceptions have become the corporate norm, and that nothing will change without fundamental reforms in our entire corporate system.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Louis Neil Mariani died on September 11, 2001, when United Airlines Flight 175 was flown into the South Tower of the World Trade Center. His wife, Ellen, and her attorney, Philip Berg, had a press conference on November 26 in Philadelphia, a news conference, I should say, where it was announced that Mrs. Mariani has filed a Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, that is the RICO Act. Under that act, has filed a federal court complaint against George W. Bush and members of his cabinet, including but not limited to Dick Cheney, John Ashcroft, Donald Rumsfeld, and others. The suit alleges that, one, they had knowledge and warnings of 911 and failed to warn or take steps to prevent. Two, they have been covering up the truth of 911. And three, have therefore violated the laws of the United States. And four, therefore are being sued under the RICO Act. Joining us now is Ellen Mariani, wife of Louis Mariani. She joins us from New Hampshire. And joining us from Philadelphia is her attorney, Louis Philip Berg. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Our pleasure.
Can you tell us, and by the way, Mrs. Mariani, the open letter that she wrote to the President of the United States the other night, I read it in its entirety on this program. It was very moving and very to the point. And I guess that would be a good place to start with the first question. What, and please excuse what sounds like naivete in this question, but I'd like to hear it in your own words. What is your goal with this lawsuit?
Well, from day one, I'm like everybody else. Be patient, be understanding, and everything will come out okay. We will find out the truth. Well, it's been over 2 years. It'll be the third birthday I've missed in the Christmas of my husband, who I've went off being married and come back a widow. I want the truth, and I have sat in 2 hearings in New York federal courts. I have watched, I have listened, and it isn't the way it's going.
Mm-hmm.
I want the truth.
It must be awfully discouraging to witness the president, the vice president, first of all, notifying leading members of Congress not to investigate too deeply into this tragedy, to further see the president, vice president, and cabinet members withholding documentation, and I guess to a lesser extent, but equally egregious, the up until the past couple of days, the mayor of New York refusing to release information necessary for this 911 investigation. That has got to be unnerving.
That hurt, I'll tell you. That hurt me right to the core, to how they were manipulating in the courts. But I'll tell you something, those that are listening tonight, you better be really alert and watching and asking many questions, because the new laws that they put in are really smarting us to the point we have lost a lot of our rights. And if my attorney can explain from those lobbyists running through the halls to get that stabilization bill in to protect, number one, the airlines that we're still using every day, to the Patriot and the Homeland Security. That right now is very alarming. And please, if you can, Phil Berg, explain it to Mike and his audience.
Well, that would be a good starting point. The attorney for Ellen Mariani is Philip Berg. If you would expand on what Mrs. Mariani just said, Mr. Berg.
Sure. Well, the Stabilization Act was created a week or two after 9/11, and what it really, the real effect of it is, I mean, it was told, it was done to make it easier for the survivors. They would create a fund and, you know, to work out for the family's needs. First off, there's been delays by the fund. The fund is called the Feinberg Fund because Kenneth Feinberg is the one individual who has been appointed, to make the final decision of someone's worth based upon their age and their income. And
now, this was money to go to the survivors of the victims of 911.
That's correct.
Okay.
And Feinberg is the sole decider of how much money. If someone's making a certain income and deducted from that is the life insurance payments and pension payments and different things. But the bigger effect of that is that if you go into the fund, you state that you will not sue anybody.
Right.
You will not sue the airlines. You will not sue, in effect, the insurance company. So it was really created to save the airlines and to save the insurance companies behind them, and it also meant you couldn't sue the federal government, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But the real purpose behind it, it's our belief and our research, is to circumvent the truth, because by not suing, then you're not doing discovery.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a lawsuit, you can, through the power of depositions or interrogatories. Interrogatories is a written question to someone, and depositions is oral statements to a sworn witness, and subpoena power to try to seek out the truth. And it's our position that the truth has not been given, and I'm sure about 80% of the people in the country believe, or probably up to 95%, believe that the truth was not told. Some people will say, well, I really don't want to know, but you should know, and we should find out. Then after that, the Patriot Act was created, and that basically just takes away rights from people. As I'm talking to you on the phone right now, they could come into my office and just take me away and say I'm a subversive, that I'm against the United States,
sure.
put me in jail,
sure.
not allow me to speak to an attorney, and not even ever bring me to trial. Now, these things are frightening, and as Ellen Mariani, my lovely client, said, these are scary. And now they just passed the Patriot Act 2. They just slid through a few weeks ago. I haven't even had time to read it. But our rights are being taken away daily. Now, what we're looking for in this lawsuit is to find out the truth. And people can say, well, what's the truth? Well, the truth is, number one, the United States of America and George Bush, and under the National Security Act of 1947, he is responsible for everyone under him. But we, in our complaint, which is on various places on the net, we will be having a website up shortly, in 62 pages of our complaint, we set forth 100 distinct items that the Bush and the administration was aware of the comings of 9/11 before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they protected themselves, but they didn't warn or try to protect the citizens of this country. And people say, well, you know, you can't protect. You couldn't have stopped this. Our belief is we could have.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Mr. Berg. The Paula Jones case through a ruling by the United States Supreme Court, and if I remember right, it was a unanimous ruling, a sitting president can be sued in a civil case. And prior to that action against President Clinton, it was just, I guess, assumed that the duties of, you know, the president represents the entire executive branch of the government. Therefore, the duties of the president superseded civil lawsuits. But since the right wing in this country pushed the issue and got their Supreme Court ruling, do you anticipate any problem in deposing George W. Bush or Dick Cheney as a result of that Supreme Court ruling several years ago?
Well, citing that, we shouldn't, but I'm sure they're going to put every roadblock up that they can. They're going to go under the guise of, different than the Paula Jones case, they're going to go under the guise of national security.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to contest that all the way down. I mean, that's the one of the reasons that they have not been forthcoming to the 9/11 Commission, which was appointed by the president. And the 9/11 Commission, one of the most outspoken individuals on that was Max Cleland,
right,
who in effect was just bought off by the president and offered him a nice position, and he just left the commission.
And I fault former Senator Cleland for doing that. He's a senator from my state until he was defeated, in my opinion, with some question about how the voting was tabulated here by Saxby Chambliss. But it's a shame that one of the most vocal critics of George Bush has, as you put it, been bought off. Mrs. Mariani, if I may, tell us a little bit about your husband.
He was a neat guy. As a lot of all the 3,000 that were murdered. He was 58 years old. I miss it terrible. We kissed goodbye and hugged and see you 3 minutes after our planes get in. And he's no longer anywhere. We have found nothing of my husband. All they've done is all the remains that they say they can't identify through DNA, which there was done a DNA for him, are in this pile of fresh kill over in New York, and that was one of the things that I want them brought back, and I want them to have a memorial type place that we can go and pray or whatever. We don't want them left over in some island in a dump and then put so many feet of the men on top of them. These are human beings, our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss him terrible.
Had you spoken to him on September 11th?
I left 2 hours before his plane did. We had two
separate... Tell him where you were going, Ellen.
We were going to my daughter's wedding in California. And he never made it, of course. And then I was determined I would make it because I was like everybody else, believing it was terrorists, and we're not allowing terrorists to stop us in our tracks with fear to go on. And I continued on to the wedding, for that Saturday, and after being stranded for 4 days. You know, it is sad that we had to find out later that the president had a lot of his family, friends, and acquaintance from years back of the Bin Ladens and whomever on. They snuck him out of our country when the rest of us are like little I don't know what you'd call us, nothing.
Well, probably less than nothing. And to me, and Mr. Berg, I don't know your feelings about this, but one of the most horrific aftershocks of that attack on this country was the fact that members of the bin Laden family and the Saudi royal family were allowed to fly out of this country with executive branch permission while Americans were grounded.
Correct. How outrageous that is. I agree with you, Mike, on that. You know, while Ellen was stuck in grieving in Chicago with her family out in California, she couldn't fly, but the bin Laden family gets the official Bush send-off, and they're allowed to fly out of the country when other planes aren't flying.
Folks, can I put you on hold? We're about to take a quick break here. Can you stick around a little bit longer?
Sure, as long as you'd like.
All right, let me put you both on hold, and we'll come back right after this break. We're talking with Ellen Mariani, the widow, I guess is a way to put it, of one of the victims of September 11, 2001, and her attorney, Philip Berg. Mrs. Mariani has filed a RICO Act complaint against George W. Bush and members of his cabinet. Stay with us. In the book is making enemies, a phony evil, so the government can do its dirt and take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search.
Oil, blood, money make these killers ride cold. Based on everything I've seen, I do not believe anyone could have prevented the horror of September the 11th. Take away your rights to freedom, bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you understand the time, brother, because it's major. What would you do?
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, shut your hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the legal huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the legal huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. I was sitting in the classroom, and Andy Card, my chief of staff, was sitting over here, walked in and said, a second plane has hit the tower. America's under attack.
24 past the hour, we are talking with Ellen Mariani and Philip Berg. Mrs. Mariani is the widow of one of the victims of the 9-1-1 attack on this country. Her attorney is Philip Berg. Mrs. Mariani joins us from New Hampshire, Mr. Berg from Philadelphia. You just heard that soundbite, both of you, that Bush made. And the question, of course, that has come up many times in this program is how George Bush could be the only person in the known universe to see the first plane hit the first tower on television.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. It is amazing. I don't think I need to preface it by saying arguably there was no television report on that first hit. It wasn't arguably. There just simply was not. What is it, Mrs. Mariani, that you ultimately want as a result of this lawsuit?
It is simply the truth. It is so easy to say simply the truth when he said to the world he would hunt down whoever was responsible and bring them to justice. Okay, Mr. Bush, you have blocked us. You have blocked every way that we've tried to get the truth in these hearings in New York. Tell us why. Mm-hmm. What is it they're afraid of? Mm-hmm. If there is nothing to be afraid of, come out and tell us how this all came about, where we were not protected, when we are the most sophisticated and the most powerful armed forces, all the planes and NORAD and everything, nothing worked that day. Tell us why.
Just speculating here, Mr. Berg, what do you think, if you can answer this, and I'll understand if you can't, what would you speculate would be the answer to that question that Mrs. Mariani is asking in her lawsuit? Tell us the truth. What happened?
Well, we believe the truth is that Bush knew about this, unfortunately, and they were looking for this to him and the group around him. Was looking to create an IWT, International War of Terrorism, which has gone on. And examples of that are the fact that within hours after the planes hit, mm-hmm. I think it was still that day or the next day, the administration stated they knew that they knew who did it. They knew already who did it. Now, how'd they know that fast? Meanwhile, no one 2.5 years later, 2.25 years later, has been brought to justice. They knew to go in and attack Afghanistan. They knew that weapons of mass destruction were in Iraq, which, and the reason I'm saying this being facetious, these all turned out to be lies.
Right.
There were no weapons of mass destruction. And someone asked me yesterday, they said, well, if you claim that Bush is so smart to be involved, that he knew about this was going to occur in 9/11, wouldn't he be smart enough to put a truckload of weapons of mass destruction of chemicals in Iraq and come out as a hero?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, let me think about that. I'll have to do some research. I said, you know what? I think they tried, but thank God there are honest men and women in our military service who probably prevented anything like that happening over in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And Iraq, I mean, I think we should support our troops completely that are there, but it bothers me every day when we lose another man or woman over there It's a horrendous thing that Bush has pushed us into. His win last year, his win earlier this year, was that they agreed to go back in to allow inspectors back in Iraq. But that wasn't good enough. They had to go in. They had to start this war. And to the detriment of the people in this country, but to the benefit, and that's part of our lawsuit, of people close to Bush and close to Cheney, Halliburton, where Cheney used to work and was part of, and we understand he still has 26,000 shares of stock, they received no-bid contracts to go into Iraq, and that's what the administration's been giving out to their friends.
Right, exactly.
And they're making a lot of money on this.
Can I ask you both to hold on through another short break here?
Sure, we'll stay as long as you like.
Okay, we'll come back with our guests, Ella Mariani and Philip Berg, right after this commercial break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory systems, cardiovascular systems, how are they functioning out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling? Why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks and strokes like people do when they get overweight and too much hardening of the arteries here?
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We'll be right back.
surprised we'd get the trifecta.
Twenty-seven before the hour, we are talking with Ella Mariani, who has filed a lawsuit under the RICO Act against George Bush and several cabinet members regarding the attacks on this country, and her attorney, Philip Berg. Mrs. Mariani, it must be disturbing to hear George Bush say, "We hit the trifecta."
Say that once more.
It must be disturbing for you to hear George Bush say, as he did, talking about the attacks on this country and the deficit and the national emergency, that we, he said, never did I dream we'd get the trifecta. It's got to be upsetting to hear a gambling term used where it concerns your husband's life.
Well, I have put it similar to a chess game.
A chess game?
They're just playing mind games. We believed it. We trusted. And now we're seeing that it is not true. We're not going to bring our loved ones back. We want it stopped. We want those brought forward. Like he said, he was going to hunt down and punish. Mm-hmm. Well, we've waited patiently over 2 years, 2 months, and so many hours. Nothing has been done. They've gone over to other countries and tore them to bits.
Mm-hmm.
We've now got a $87 billion deficit now, or whatever it is that we got to pay for. It's time for us to hunt down and punish.
Yeah, but see, the problem is they don't have to go that far to hunt. They just have to, Mike and Ellen, they just have to bring everyone in from their various departments in Washington,
right,
and get them to open up and tell the truth. And we're hoping through this lawsuit, and hoping by the way of we appreciate being on your show and your listeners, we've started our website. Hopefully we're trying to get it cleared. It's going to be called 9-11 for the Truth. And if I just may mention, we're trying to, it's going to be a lot to fund this because the government's going to do everything against us as possible. And we came up with $9.11 we're asking people to send in to help us defray the cost of this, because we want to take the depositions. We want to issue subpoenas. And we, more important, what we want is all the listeners out there to start talking to their family and friends. And ask the question, we really don't know what happened on 9-11, and shouldn't we find out, and do we want our rights taken away? And one of the reasons I filed here in Philadelphia the lawsuit, the second lawsuit, and the one against Bush and the administration, is that the Declaration of Independence was hammered out here in Philadelphia and signed, and the United States Constitution. And to do that, people stood up and rebelled. And it's time the people in this country stood up and rebelled against the nonsense and the taking away of rights for the elite.
The news conference that you had Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, a two-part question. How well attended was that by the news media, A? B, I have seen nothing about your lawsuit on CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC. How is it being received by the so-called liberal media in this country?
Well, unfortunately, they're not, and that's one of our big claims. Some of my advisors are suggesting to me that I join some of these elite media into the lawsuit as far as the ongoing suppression of evidence, because they have a responsibility here to do things. We are getting better press coverage overseas in England and the Netherlands and in Germany than we are here in the United States, and that's why it's thrilling to be on a show like yours and that you have guts enough to open up and allow us to speak these.
Why do you think that is, Mr. Berg? Why is American media, or why are American media not covering this?
Well, I think part of it comes down to that too few own too much in this country. And as we named one of our defendants here, the Council on Foreign Relations. And the Council on Foreign Relations is made up of a lot of individuals who are heads of these various corporations that own CBS and ABC and NBC. And we're going to keep kicking at them. We are prodding and doing, and there's people out there, versus talk show hosts like you, and a lot of people out there. A thing that has changed, I think, forever, and hopefully for the better, is the Internet. The Internet has enabled people to spread the word, spread the message very fast and very cheap, and our message is getting around to, and I know by the emails we're getting, but thousands and thousands of people, and within days we know that we can send a message out and 100,000 or 200,000 or a million people can get it and our vast reaches through the various conducts that we're doing, we know that we're reaching out to thousands of people and hopefully millions of people in this country and around the world. And we just want them to unite and stand up and say, you know what, tell us the truth. See, this is our position. If George Bush would come out in the administration and lay out everything they have and show us we're wrong, we would withdraw this lawsuit. But we know that they won't because they can't, because they knew about things. And certain things, for instance, in July of 2001, Ashcroft, the Attorney General of the United States, stopped flying commercial aircraft.
Right.
And he started flying military charters. Well, why? Because they had forewarnings in June, July, August. The administration had warnings. George Bush had warnings from even the German officials. And we have it documented in our complaint that planes were going to be utilized to go into buildings in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have fighter jets in this country, and everyone has seen them because they see them being utilized over in Iraq. Why were these planes told to stand down on September 11th?
Right.
And they were.
Yeah, those questions have been thoroughly documented on the Internet. I would hope that as a result of your lawsuit, there might be some answers. Let me just say, if we have our guests here for a few more minutes, Ellen Mariani and her attorney, Philip Berg, if you have a question, 800-TALK, yes. We've got a couple of email questions here. Barry in Montgomery, Alabama, emails in, would you ask your guests if any current or former intelligence officials have been helpful in your efforts?
We have gotten some input. I'm not sure from intelligence people. We've gotten some input already from former U.S. attorneys, other individuals, attorneys around the country who are willing to come forth and help. And that's another thing we're asking, and through your show and other shows, that there are people out there in this country who probably know something, who saw something on September 11th or before that time, that has information that's been afraid to turn it over to the government. If they could contact you or contact me and give us affidavits about it, because we know that people have knowledge about things if they think hard enough, because this goes back to 1993 when they tried to blow up the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm, right.
And they were told, at that time we found out, that they had planned to use planes to go into the Sears Tower and the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, no intelligence. We do have an affidavit even from someone in intelligence. So, yes, we do.
Daryl is calling from Detroit. Daryl, welcome to the program. You have a question for our guest.
Yes. First, I'd like to say, Mrs. Mariani, my condolences go out to you.
Could you speak up a little?
My condolences go out to you.
Thank you, Daryl.
My daughter is going to be
married coming this summer, and I can only I can
relate to having that kind of tragedy mark the wedding, and I applaud your courage. I wanted to let you know, you and your lawyer, that I had for a long time been in a chat with a person that I really don't know, but was an American Airlines stewardess or worked in the airplanes. And she said that they were under an agreement. They had to actually sign papers to say that they would not talk about what happened on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been, she said, it is so damaging that people are really afraid of retribution, like being suicided and other things of that nature. I don't know if you were aware of the fact that there are American Airlines personnel who know a lot.
Well, we would love to hear from them, one way or the other, if they could start out with a... you know, making up a secret name and contacting us. I would love to hear from them, because to go along with that, and Mike, to pass on to your listeners, the other day I got an email from an official of the 28,000 airport screeners who were basically the scapegoats of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been in contact with us, and they want to support us in our attempt to find out the truth. And let me just raise an issue to your listeners. What evidence do we have that any box cutter was being used on any of these planes?
Right.
Now, supposedly, the only thing we know is there was a phone call that supposedly said a box cutter was used to harm a stewardess. Even if we believe that, how do we then know that they were used on all four planes?
Mm-hmm.
And this was another bit of propaganda, we believe, put out by the administration. If not, let us see the proof. But there's no proof. So it's just, and because of that, the screeners, and the only thing that's really happened at the airports, in our opinion, is that the businesses inside the airports have lost money, closed down. We don't really think security is really better at the airports. I'm not trying to scare people, but what you're dealing with is terrorists, like what goes on overseas, they want to come in with a backpack and blow themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
So that really hasn't been prevented. The only thing that's been prevented is supposedly taking certain things onto planes.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really think that that's the problem.
Is Daryl still on?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Daryl, you are telling me the truth. I have been amongst some of the widowers also who had husbands that were pilots. And when I would walk or approach near them, they would turn their back and walk away. And I thought, oh, well, you know, they maybe feel that their husbands killed our loved ones. And that's how I felt at first. You are exactly correct. They did do something, like they did sign something. They're also afraid that whatever monies they were going to get, they might lose if they say the wrong thing.
Well, these were even people who were not even involved in the flights. This is throughout the country. These were not people whose relatives were on the flights. These are other flight personnel who are associated with the airline.
Mm-hmm.
And they've reached out and clamped down on this. And this has been in place for over a year. I mean, this was not a... They were not sloppy with this.
I would think, let me interrupt if I may, I would think, Mr. Berg, that when you get your website up, information like that which Daryl's talking about would be appreciated at your website or through an email once people know how to get in touch with you. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Daryl, let me move on. Thanks,
yeah,
Daryl.
Sure.
I appreciate
care.
It.
Thanks, Daryl.
You know, it brings up a question, the conversation you were having there with Daryl. And I can ask either one of you, Mrs. Mariani or Mr. Berg, do you believe the story? And I'm not putting quotes around the word story. I'm just saying, do you believe the story that 19 people commandeered four jetliners in this country, 15 of whom were from Saudi Arabia, and that the destruction and death that occurred in this country on September 11th was carried out as the story has laid it out, that these four people, suicide bombers all, took over four jetliners and slammed them into the Pentagon, the World Trade Center, and the ground in Pennsylvania. Do you believe that story, essentially?
No, I don't.
And I do not.
Do you believe something else that you can share here?
Can I ask Mr. President, why hasn't he given us a complete passengers list from all the flights? He will not do that. Why? Also, the airport surveillance tapes, when they would have shown all the passengers boarding these doomed flights. Why won't he release those?
Do you have any thought as to the answer to that question, Mrs. Mariani? Why he would not, or why whomever has these tapes in custody, why they would not be released? Do you have
because they're probably not going to show these terrorists that they're so-called claiming were on there, because I believe, am I right, Phil, some of these terrorists are alive and they're for fear of their own life because of how Bush has gone over there and destroyed.
We have heard, and again, we have to document it further, but we've heard up to seven of these supposed terrorists are still alive and well and flying planes or in Saudi Arabia. You know, it's really, as Ellen mentioned, they show you some photos of some people getting on or off an airplane going through the airport in Maine. Now, if they have videotapes in Maine, I'm sure they have in Boston's Logan Airport. They haven't shown any of those, as Ellen said.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't produced the flight manifest of everything. There's so many unanswered questions, more unanswered questions than questions. And I think another thing to show that the president was involved, the president, if he's ever in danger, is not... He doesn't call his own decisions. They're called for by the Secret Service. And it boggles our mind why at 9:03, when the second plane hit the World Trade Center, that the chief of staff just whispers in his ear and the president goes back reading a ghost story, when in effect he should have, number one, taken command, And more important, the Secret Service should have just grabbed him out of that room and put him someplace else, out of that building, because everyone in the United States or world knew he was in that classroom that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure you both understand, and we understand on this program, we've been talking about this since this tragedy, that if the facts show that George W. Bush and his administration were had advanced knowledge, even to a certain degree, not total knowledge, but to a certain degree, and ordered a stand down of NORAD and allowed this to happen, that the result could be utter chaos in this country. And I'm not talking just about the loss of confidence in our system of government. Perhaps not our system of government, but in this administration. But one of the residual or one of the ripple effects from that could be a civil unrest to the extent that would bring about martial law, which I think Tommy Franks talked about just the other day. Let me get you to hold on one more a moment, if I may. And when we come back, we're only going to have about 2 minutes, so we'll wrap it up then. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, if you'll just hold on for a second, we'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
It can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who worked with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to That Comic Book Show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week, I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, just a few moments left with our guest, Ellen Mariani, who is the widow of one of the victims of the attack on this country on September 11th, 2001, and her attorney, Philip Berg. As always happens in a situation like this, I have just a whole list of email questions that have come in, folks, and we're not going to have a chance to get to them. Also, people who have phoned in and may be on bad cells or whatever and have asked questions, we're not going to be able to get to them. But there's one I want to ask you. Mrs. Mariani, in your open letter to the president, where you have seven questions, in the seventh one, why did your brother Jeb go to the offices of the Hoffman Aviation School and order that the flight records be removed and flown from this country? That has got to be a clear indication of some sort of a conspiracy. I mean, even if we don't use the legal term, just in the sense of, gee, they conspired to do something, that must be very puzzling to you.
It's very sad. And I think we've got to stop turning our back. We've got to stand up and demand the truth. You know, why, for his brother, who is the president of the United States, why would he take one of our government C-130 cargo planes and fly out of our country all the flight records and files? Why? What are they hiding? What is in there? It's simply, we want the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad because I feel that our country abandoned us, 3,000 families that had our loved ones just ripped from us, and we need people to walk with us.
Yeah.
Can I give an address if people want to send us anything until we get our website up?
Yes, you may.
Okay. We're calling it the 911 4 FOR, The Truth, care of Philip Berg, B-E-R-G, at 706 Ridge, R-I-D-G-E, Pike, in Lafayette Hill, L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, separate word, Hill, Pennsylvania, that's P-A, 19444.
How about your AOL email address?
Sure, PJB Law. That's P for Peter, J like jam, B like butter, Law. PJB Law at AOL.com.
Yeah, I think that'll be a little easier for people to get in touch with you than trying to write down that. It's PJB, like peanut jelly and butter.
Correct.
PJB Law at AOL.com.
Right, I just threw the address in case people want to send a contribution to help our cause.
Okay, I'm sure as this thing progresses, you and I, the three of us, will talk again. At least I hope so.
Yes.
Mrs. Mariani, thank you very much.
Can I They want to please bring our men and women home from the armed forces. I understand there is over 10,000 men and women who've lost their limbs, and you don't hear anything about that.
Not a thing.
That is so sad.
It is.
They went over there in lies. We've got to bring them out of there.
I hear that. Mr. Berg, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Mike.
Thank you
very much.
All right, sir. Philip Berg is Ellen Mariani's attorney. Mr. Berg joined us from Philadelphia. Mrs. Mariani joined us from New Hampshire. Quick break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan Ji La is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan Ji La.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Federal appeals judges on Wednesday sharply questioned whether terrorism defendant Zacharias Moussaelani can receive a fair trial while the government denies him testimony from al-Qaeda witnesses who he says could exonerate him. During a hearing on the fairness and death penalty issues that have delayed trial for the al-Qaeda operative, the judges searched for a way to resolve a clash between defendants' rights and the government's ability to fight the war on terrorism. The new president of Iraq's governing council is a Shiite cleric and former militia leader who strongly objects to a key part of a U.S. plan to give sovereignty to Iraqis by July 1st. Abdel Aziz al-Hakim is in charge only for the month of December, but his elevation to the top Iraqi office testifies to a post-Saddam Hussein regime in which a long-oppressed Shiite majority has emerged as the nation's dominant force. Addressing his first news conference Wednesday since taking over the rotating post, al-Hakim renewed his demands that a transitional legislature set to be formed by the end of May should be directly elected rather than selected from regional caucuses. George W. Bush likely will lift steep tariffs he imposed on foreign steel 20 months ago, congressional sources say. White House officials refused to discuss details of the decision, but congressional and steel industry officials, who spoke Wednesday on condition of anonymity, said they expected Bush to remove the tariffs in order to avoid the imposition of retaliatory tariffs on a wide range of American products. The 15-nation European Union has vowed to retaliate against 2.2 billion of American products by mid-December unless the United States removes the steel tariffs, which were ruled illegal by the World Trade Organization. A self-described terrorist who told jurors that people who provide abortion should be shot was convicted Wednesday on charges that he mailed envelopes of fake anthrax to women's clinics in an attempt to shut them down. A federal jury deliberated more than 3 hours before finding Clayton Wagner guilty of 51 of 53 counts, including the most serious charge, threatening to use a weapon of mass destruction. Wagner, who once made the FBI's 10 most wanted list, could face decades in prison when he is sentenced. He is already serving a 49-year term for car theft and weapons violations. More news after this.
Hi, I'm Lars Ulrich from Metallica. You know, protecting your hearing may not be something that you're thinking a lot about right now, but take it from me that after a few years of being exposed to loud music and other such things, that hearing loss and a constant ringing in your ears have become a problem for me and could also become a problem for you. If you want more information about this, call the Hear Hotline. The number is 415-773-9590.
An Israeli cat has been banned from circulating freely in the stairwell of a suburban Tel Aviv apartment building, apparently because its jet black color was frightening the residents. Its owners were told they had to cradle the cat when descending the building staircase or risk having it impounded. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
I hate to distract you from the media's 24/7 saturation coverage of the latest Michael Jackson saga, but have you noticed that the corporate crime spree, bilking us of billions of dollars, continues to roar like an out-of-control wildfire, devouring industry after industry? It seems like only yesterday that Wall Street, Washington, and the media were insisting that the flaming collapse of Enron, Arthur Andersen, and those other high-profile bad boys was nothing but an extraordinary exception to the norm of corporate America's high ethical standards. But, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said of a dinner guest, the louder he talked of his honor, the faster we counted our spoons. Today, the media barons bury the stories of corporate finagling, but hardly a week goes by without another major corporation or entire industry being caught in a flare-up of corruption, self-dealing, fraud, or other thievery, ripping off small investors, looting pension funds, scamming taxpayers, and generally taking care of number one. Take a recent two-day period, for example, in which three wildfires of corruption burst out. Lord Conrad Black, a right-wing British press baron who controls the Chicago Sun-Times and other media holdings, was found to be illegally siphoning millions of corporate dollars into his own pockets. Coincidentally, Lord Black's accounting firm, KPMG, also was squirming at this same time in front of a U.S. Senate committee, for it has been caught reaping millions in fees for sleazy tax shelters it designed to help its rich clients escape paying their taxes. Then, on the same day, an undercover FBI sting found that some of Wall Street's biggest banks, including J.P. Morgan, had been rigging currency trades and pocketing kickbacks while bilking small investors. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's time to admit that the corrupt exceptions have become the corporate norm, and that nothing will change without fundamental reforms in our entire corporate system.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. It's hard to hard for me to follow up a conversation like that because it brings into play. a couple of things, and it also brings into memory that hideous day 2 years ago. Ah. But also the possibilities of what this country is facing if the truth were to come out. Now, I know a lot of people possibly, you know, mostly right-wingers would say, well, you know, you tinfoil hat leftists, you know, what are you, the hell are you talking about? But when you look at all the timelines, all the unanswered questions that have been put together by so many people globally and put on the Internet about that horrific day, and the questions that the events and the timelines bring up, and it's almost impossible to not believe that what we have come to accept as the conventional wisdom on this attack on the country is nothing more than the tip of an iceberg, carefully calculated to keep the truth from coming out. And I don't want to make the what is becoming time-worn comparison between the conspiracy around 9/11 and the conspiracy around the Kennedy assassination. So let's not even go there, although I think I have done it on this program before. But just the horrific implications for this country if it turns out that the Bush crime family was in any way, even crimes of omission, that they are in any way complicit in this tragedy. The implications are staggering. So let's try to move on, okay? Okay, we have about 50 minutes left in the program. I want you to hear Simple Scotty McClellan today at his press briefing. Reporters start to what is considered by the crack White House press corps hammering Simple Scotty about the lie that British Airways pilots spotted Air Force One on its way to Iraq. And we've had three stories now, three versions of the story. The first reporter says, Scott, you promised us more information about the Air Force One sighting. Was it a British Airways plane? Now, here's the third version of the story.
I'm going to give you a copy of a release that was put out by the National Air Traffic Services, which is the London Area Control Center. Let me just read that to you first, and then I'll be glad to get into any follow-up you have. NATS has now concluded its investigations and can confirm that a conversation between the crew of an aircraft belonging to a non-UK operator and its control center took place around 9:30 GMT on Thursday, the 27th November 2003. The pilot of the aircraft asked whether the aircraft behind it was Air Force One. After consulting the flight plan of those aircraft in the sector at that time, the center responded that the aircraft was a Gulfstream 5. NATS notes reports that U.S. officials have said that for security reasons, Air Force One had filed a flight plan which stated that the service would be operated by a Gulfstream 5. So as they pointed out, it was a non-UK operator.
You can hear the crack White House press corps laughing at him. Another reporter, same subject, the reporter says, and do you think, though, that this third revision of this story now takes some of the shine off the president's surprise visit to the troops?
First of all, no, absolutely not. The president was pleased to go and visit our men and women in the military who are serving and sacrificing in defending freedom and making the world a safer and better place.
God.
And he was honored to be there and spend Thanksgiving with those men and women who are in Baghdad. Second point I was going to make is again, this conversation was relayed to you all to help you all have a little more color for your stories and to keep the American people informed about an important event that occurred over the Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, so it was provided as color, like in color commentary during a football game for the crack White House press corps? This conversation was relayed to you all to help you all have a little more color for your stories. What Simple Scotty is saying there is that, once again, I think he meant to let the cat out of the bag here. Once again, the press corps, the American public, are being thoroughly BS'd by this gang of thieves and murderers that occupy the White House now with false stories. Scotty calls it color. I call it lies. Now, here, Simple Scotty and a reporter go back and forth. The reporter begins by asking, Scott, so the White House has no compunctions about having misled the American people about this trip?
Well, first of all, I was not there, but I've gone and gathered the facts, and I'm not sure that, again, the Colonel Tillman and the pilots on board the Air Force One are people that relayed this information to White House staff, and for very good reason. They believed it was a British Airways flight, for the reason I stated. But as now that we know more information, we made an attempt to get you all that information as quickly as possible, and that's what we always do.
Having misled the public in thinking the president was at the ranch. In other words, there's a level of trust that has...
Look, I understand and I appreciate the question you're asking, but I think that the American people fully understand security arrangements that were made so that the President of the United States could go and thank our troops in person on Thanksgiving during a very special moment for them while they were celebrating Thanksgiving Day.
A very special moment for them, because this little twerp, this coward, shows up, holds up a plastic turkey, and at 7 o'clock in the morning... Oh, never mind. Oh, my God. All right. Oh, that just makes me sick. I don't know. Can you play some commercials while I go across the hall and throw up? No, you can't? Okay, not yet. One of this next little item here, this affects anyone who lives near a nuclear reactor. Now, near a nuclear reactor means what? If you're downwind, I don't know what that means, 50 miles, 100 miles, 200 miles. There are nuclear reactors near population centers all over this country, some of which have been decommissioned, which only means they are not online. They are still bubbling pools and containment rooms filled with death and destruction. You know, the nuclear power industry that went berserk on us back in the 50s and 60s and 70s with their energy too cheap to even put a meter on your house is now saying that they can't afford to A, dismantle these monuments to stupidity. They can't afford to clean them up, and they're waiting for the federal government to make Yucca Mountain a disposal for thousands of tons of plutonium. In the meantime, this stuff is sitting all over the country at these various nuclear reactors. Now, how do the states handle this stuff? How do local jurisdictions handle this stuff? Well, they have monitoring programs. The monitoring programs are paid for with federal money. The monitoring programs are not paid for with money from the corporations who put these damnable things in our midst to begin with. No, 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 no. You and I, in our electric bills, are paying what are called, I forget the exact term, stranded or marooned costs. That's a way of saying we in the electric generating power business were so stupid and so willing to lie to the American public 30 years ago that now that this pipe dream is coming to an end, we have no way of paying for this, so we're going to make the American public pay for it. Not make the American public pay for electric power usage, but make the American public pay for our stupidity and our lies where it concerned building these things to begin with. Okay, it's a long story, isn't it? So how do local jurisdictions handle this? The fact that these pulsating mountains of death and leukemia and cancer are sitting near major population centers across the fruited plain. The government provides money. The Department of Energy provides money for monitoring, so that the states can monitor the possibility of radiation seeping into milk or crops or soil or the air or rivers or the groundwater. Kind of an early warning system, so that through these monitoring programs, if the states or the localities say, whoops, The bells are going off. What's going on? That something can be done possibly before we have a real nuclear emergency. The monitoring systems are critical to preventing one or more of the 1,000 of 15 major, major tragedies in this country with the release of radioactive material. Well, guess what? Here in Georgia, and this applies all over the country, environmental officials say a cutoff of these federal funds will eliminate monitoring of whether the nuclear weapons plant, in this case near Augusta, Georgia, is leaking harmful radiation into the air, the water, the ground, the crops. The Department of Energy, which operates the Savannah River nuclear power plant in South Carolina, notified the Georgia Environmental Protection Division a couple of weeks ago that it will stop paying for this state's monitoring program January 17th. The agency provided nearly $2 million over the past 3 years for the program to detect potential emissions from the Savannah River site. Now, the director of the state's Environmental Protection Division Programs Coordination Branch here in Georgia said, quote, if this program ends, if the federal money is cut off, our ability to notify communities and industries downstream of an accidental release from Savannah River nuclear plant will be diminished. And those communities depend on us for that information, end quote. Now, this is true no matter where you live. If you live near a nuclear power plant, the money used to monitor that plant, the federal money, is going to be cut off. Why? Two words. George Bush.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick or feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass. Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9-11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
We need an energy bill that encourages consumption.
Yeah, you stupid jackass. We have an Uncle Mike story corner this evening, I hope, coming up after the next break. We'll see what happens. All right. Tom is calling from Austin, Texas. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I wanted to ask you on this Bush trip to Iraq. There seems to be some confusion on the time of the day that he arrived, and I've heard you for the last several days talking about the fact that he showed up at like 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I believe 6 a.m. was the time reported by most of the networks and so on and so forth, that they had their dinner.
I see. Well, that was a typo that happened in a Washington Post story, which was then corrected, and the actual time that they landed was 5:30 p.m., and the correction's been out there for several days, so I just thought you'd probably want to correct it.
Well, that's interesting, because then that would render gibberish the report that it was a nighttime landing with no lights.
Do you know what time
in
sunset
Iran.
Is in Baghdad at that time of year?
Are they talking about 5:30 local time?
That's correct. 5:30 local time Baghdad. Sunset is at 4:52. Therefore, it was dark for 30 minutes. Well, it was at least the sun had set for 40 minutes.
Well, when the sun sets here in Atlanta, we have about an hour's worth of daylight. Maybe it's different in...
It's actually 20 minutes at that latitude.
Okay. I'm just curious, Tom, what is your point? This seems to have really gotten to you.
Well, the point is that, for example, your colleague Tom Hartman corrected this already on his radio show.
Well, that's good. I don't monitor Tom Hartman's program, nor does he monitor mine. I think I'll stick with the story that I've had on this. I have a feeling you're next going to tell me that the turkey wasn't plastic. The reports that we have gotten here, first of all, there have been so many stories and that make no sense coming from the White House and Scott McClellan. If you want to defend this administration or defend the clock or defend the time of day, go right ahead. Why have they changed their story three times about the British, so-called British Airways? And as far as the turkey and the dinner and when it occurred and the nighttime landing, look, to me the whole thing is bat squeeze. But I appreciate your phone call. I'm not sure why you called. If I'm sitting here making an ass of myself by giving out wrong times, let me do it. That's why they pay me $6 an hour to come in here and go to work. Eric is calling from Mount Clair, New Jersey. Eric, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey.
Good evening, Michael. You're my own personal Bob. Every time I come on to your radio show, I get a fair helping of slack. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine.
Hey. Number one, I want to thank you for your referral to my site. I'm the webmaster, bushflash.com. You recently gave me a link. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And fantastic work. Fantastic work, sir. I'm an addict for your show. But one thing that I was wondering about, considering you are my own personal Bob, is that I was wondering, what is your opinion of George Soros's activism monetary.
His contribution? Yeah.
His contributions to the anti-Bush cause.
Well,
personally, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, I do too. My question would be, why have other wealthy liberals not done what wealthy conservatives have been doing ever since the age of Gingrich?
Absolutely.
And that is contributing millions of dollars. Of course, Republicans or conservatives do that in order to destroy public dialogue, in order to hide the truth, in order to beat the American public into submission, whereas liberals do it in order to get the truth out. Let me put you on hold a second, Eric, and I'll come back because we have a break here. My thing about Soros is applause, 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 but where are the rest of the wealthy liberals?
I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. They arrested the mayor for an illegal favor, so the Empire State of Japan and Oliver North married William C. Cord and gave birth to a little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship if he dies and wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true, no one here knows what to do, and I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some wild swine in Georgia are great guinea pigs, but less than desirable neighbors. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Spanish settlers brought pigs to an island off the coast of Georgia more than 400 years ago and raised them for food. The pigs on Ossabaw Island have been running loose ever since, and today people have mixed opinions about the animals. Some say they're a nuisance, others say they're a valuable resource for the study of human disease. Ilir Brisbane is an ecologist with the University of Georgia, and he's studied the feral pigs. He says they've developed a low-grade form of diabetes, and it helps them survive an unpredictable diet. Brisbane says the free-ranging pigs survive mainly on acorns. He says their metabolism lets them pile on fat to get through years when acorns are scarce. But he says the pigs don't show any sign of the cardiovascular problems that are typically linked with obesity.
And the question is, how are these pigs' circulatory systems, cardiovascular systems, how are they functioning out on the island when they get really fat and the acorns are falling? Why aren't they keeling over of heart attacks and strokes like people do when they get overweight and too much hardening of the arteries here?
Brisbane says answering these questions means studying the behavior of the pigs in the wild, not just in a lab. But he says the pigs are hard on the island environment. When acorns are scarce, they look for food in salt marshes. They tear up valuable habitat for shrimp, crabs, and oysters. They also destroy the nests of sea turtles. To protect the turtles, natural resource managers in Georgia shoot hundreds of the pigs every year. Brisbane talked about the difficulty of juggling environmental protection and medical research during a recent meeting of the Ecological Society of America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Free radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Unless I'm talking about when the sun sets in Baghdad, then it's just all lies and BS, I guess. I don't know. Oh, my God. Yeah, meteorology quiz. Regarding the caller from Austin, Texas, if Tom Hartman has corrected something, a typo that the Washington Post made, I applaud Tom Hartman. I am not going to do that sort of in-depth research down to a nub. I simply can't to find out who's telling the truth. The Bush crime family lies about everything. If they told the truth about when they landed their jerky-ass plane in Baghdad, well, that'll be the first time that I'm aware of that they told the truth about anything. Remember, Bush said that major combat operations had ended in Iraq on May 1st, and we now have hundreds dead, thousands of Iraqis. Major combat operations have not ended, and it goes on and on. I don't care if George Bush tried to tell me right now that it was 35 minutes past 11 Eastern Time, p.m. I would not believe it. So as far as any typos that may have occurred in the Washington Post or any lies put out by the Bush crime family, I'll do the best I can, and then I'll stick with the story that I started with, unless I can find, if somebody provides me with information. You know, I retract things on this program. When I make a screw up, when I say something that's not true, I'm very quick to correct it or retract it or say, beat me, kick me, make me do bad talk radio. I'm sorry. But in this instance, I will be pig-headed and say I'll stick with the original story simply because the Bush crime family lies about everything. Why should, the flight over the Pacific, or the Atlantic, if this plane landed at 5 whatever local time in the afternoon, then will somebody please tell me how it was flying over the Atlantic in pitch darkness? Unless there's pitch darkness at noon over the Atlantic. I don't know. Or did the plane take off from Austin, Texas at night or during the day? I don't know. One story said they got caught in the traffic. They left at rush hour. Another one said, no, it was just a normal time. It just goes on and on. The lies, the distortions, the bull crap, the bat squeeze that comes from this administration. And somebody, if somebody wants to call me and say, well, now, why don't you, Tom Hartman retracted that 4 days ago. Fine. Good for Tom Hartman. I respect Tom Hartman's approach. I respect the callers. I respect everybody. I love my mommy, and I try to be a good boy and drink my milk and brush my teeth before I go to bed. But I will tell you what, where concerns George W. Bush, he's a lying son of a bitch, and everything that comes out of his mouth and his administration's mouths are lies. Period. Are we clear on that, soldier? Good.
Yeah, it was dark over the Atlantic, but by the time we got to Baghdad, the clocks had run backwards, and it was only 5:20 in the afternoon.
to hell with all that. Eric, back to, what, did I put you on hold and forgot about you, Eric?
No problem. Every word from your mouth is golden.
I know. I'm your Bob. I know.
Yeah, you are.
I don't quite understand that. I guess I'm getting old. What does that mean?
Subgenius.com. Just go there, and it'll explain everything.
Subgenius?
Subgenius.
Subgenius.com. Okay.
Exactly.
All right, I'll check it out.
Now, one other thing that has emerged today that I wanted to get your opinion on was that the occupation authority in Iraq has decided to allow the five largest political parties in Iraq to organize their own paramilitary militias to keep the peace, quote-unquote, as it were, in Iraq. And that just seems to me to be an open invitation to civil war.
Well, yeah.
oh my God!
You don't really, really believe that the Bush crime family wants democracy in Iraq?
Oh no, they don't want it here. So why do they want it
right
over there?
Right? Why would they want it there? No, what they want in Iraq is enough chaos so that there would be no organized resistance to their takeover of the Iraqi oil fields. The only thing they're trying to do there is establish enough martial law so that the oil can be extracted unless it's all screwed up with water, and the pumps can be rebuilt, and the pipeline can be built.
No, the thing
that's
is,
all. They don't care. They don't give a tinker's damn about democracy.
The first thing the insurgents are going to go after are the oil facilities.
Well, that's why our troops are there.
That's what we want.
Well, that's why our troops are there. Our troops are there not to defend democracy, not to defend America, but to defend Halliburton, to defend the oil companies.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here, and with many of your visitors,
right.
Your listeners, you're preaching to the
right,
choir.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
It just strikes me as insane because there's just no rational, sane reason to arm five disparate elements of the Iraqi population.
Eric, I disagree. There is a very Bush rational reason to arm five disparate Iraqi potential military units, and that is so they will all kill each other. Okay? Now, I'm not being cute. That is the reason. Arm them all. They will kill each other. Let God or Allah sort them out. That's all. Of course you arm them.
That's sort of like the Orwellian idea of the eternal war going on just in Iraq, just so long as long as we can stay there.
Bingo.
Like I said, Mike, you're my own personal Bob.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All right. Hey, take care.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. I don't think we're going to get to Uncle Mike's Story Corner this evening. We'll get to it tomorrow. It's the latest from Podvin, one of my favorite writers. You're familiar with what the hell's his first name? I've got it here someplace. David Podvin. We'll get to it. Possibly tomorrow night. Dr. Roger Libby is going to be with us tomorrow. It hasn't been on this program for a long time. He wrote a piece. It's at commondreams.org. Go to commondreams.org. Scroll down, 10, 15 names. They always publish the author's names first of the pieces that they publish. And you'll see Roger Libby and a piece he wrote on sex in the Bush era. The title is Responsible Lust is Healthy and Normal. And this was a column that he wrote for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. And we're going to have him on the program. Roger is an old friend of mine and Kathy's. And he now lives in Seattle. And he's a sex therapist. No, we never went to him for counseling. As a matter of fact, he used to co-host a radio program here on 99X. The Ass Kickin' Rock Station here. It used to be on what? Sunday nights, Kathy? From 10 to midnight? The Pleasure Zone, it was called, and he took questions from teens and young adults, gay, straight, all about love and sex. And Roger is just one hell of a good guy, and he's going to join us tomorrow night and talk about sex in the age of Bush, which is I get the feeling it's we're drifting towards sex in the age of Big Brother. Remember Winston Smith and Julia. They were allowed to have sex, but they were not on a very limited basis. But they were not allowed to fall in love. And the problem was they did not do the lustful nasty that Big Brother wanted them to do, but instead fell in love. And that's one of the reasons they were able to break both of them. Remember what Winston Smith said at that particular moment in Room 101: "Don't do it to me, do it to Julia." And, of course, once he said that, that was it. So Roger Libby, tomorrow night, world-renowned sex therapist, author, and my friend. Chris is calling from Goose Creek, Arkansas. I didn't know there was a Goose Creek. I knew there was a Goose Creek, South Carolina, but there's a Goose Creek, Arkansas, too?
Yes, sir, about 25 miles east of Fort Smith.
Well, welcome to the program, Chris.
Hey, Mike, I want you to know something. If I had one kidney,
yeah,
it would be yours. Serious.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. That's real sweet. But
hey,
you keep it, pal.
Hey, I'll keep it till you need it.
All right.
Hey, that one caller you had earlier, I think he's in the first hour.
Yeah.
Talking about, he talked to Sean Hannity today.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I heard the phone call. I was listening to the Sean Hannity show. It's probably 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
I would tell you, Hannity was baffled. He was absolutely baffled. The numbers are right in front of his face.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, he had made a slip-up whenever he was checking his numbers earlier.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the website. I mean, he's got the website pulled up as he's talking to the guy on the air. And like I said, he is completely baffled. The numbers are right there in front of his face. He had gotten false information or distorted or something earlier.
Uh-huh.
And he was trying to reconcile the numbers that he was looking at on the screen with what he had previously said. And he sounded like a blithering idiot.
Well, I can't stand these right-wing talk show hosts, but that would have been fun to have listened to, I guess. It always is funny to hear these right-wingers when they're confronted with the truth and how they step around it. I'm surprised he didn't say to I forget the guy's name who called in here tonight who was on Sean's program, but I'm surprised that Sean didn't say, "Well, you must be a terrorist."
I think the guy's name was Kurt.
Kurt, that's right. Yeah, Kurt.
Sean, you know, usually he's pretty slick. You know, he steps around issues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like I said, he sounds like a blithering idiot. And then, if you'll indulge me one more quick Sean Hannity story.
Sure.
He has this woman who apparently was a model for the Babes Vince Bush calendar that was a drum he's beating today, a calendar called Babes Against Bush.
Right.
He calls Miss November. Her name was Melanie.
Uh-huh.
Very articulate woman, very well-spoken, so on and so forth. Okay. He was wanting to talk politics. She wasn't going to talk politics because she knew where he was going to take it, you know, down the right-wing road, and he's kind of like an idiot, so on and so forth. Okay. You know what he does after he gets off the phone? He has his producer call her back.
Yeah.
He asks her one question. Who's the vice president?
Wait. Chris, you're breaking up something awful. Chris, let me put you on hold because I think we just lost you. Let me put you on hold, and we'll come back. Let me give it a couple of minutes here, and we'll come back to you. Chris just dropped off. I guess he got in a bad cell. That's hell when you're using a cell phone. That happens to me all the time. Chris, I'm sorry. We just didn't get that last part, man. Damn it. See if he calls back in, Kathy, and we'll bump him up to the head of the line. David is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, David. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, I got a little on-topic comic relief for us.
Okay. We need it.
All right. So this guy dies, and he goes to heaven.
Yeah.
And St. Peter's taking him through the intake process.
Right.
And so he's filling out all the paperwork and asking the questions and everything. And they go in this room, and it's got billions of clocks on the wall.
Billions of clocks.
And the guy says, "Hey, what are all these clocks for?"
Uh-huh.
And St. Peter says, "Oh, these are honesty clocks. Everybody gets their own when they're born, and
uh-huh.
they start at midnight. Here's Mother Teresa's. It's still at midnight. She never told a lie."
Uh-huh.
"Here's Abe Lincoln's. It's only 12:02. He only told 2 lies in his whole life."
Yeah.
So the guy's walking along past the bees, and he says, "Well, wait, I don't see one for George Bush here." And St. Peter says, well, Jesus has got that one in his office. He's using it for a ceiling fan."
Oh, God. All right, that's funny.
Yeah, that's all I got for you.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Good show. Good show.
Thanks, David.
All right, bye.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, go ahead, Catherine.
I just have to give credit here. I got to give props to Joe, our Brookings, Oregon bureau chief. He just called in with one.
Yeah.
He said, "Okay, if you had Rush Limbaugh in one hand and Sean Hannity in the other, and you went up to the Empire State Building at the top and dropped them,
mm-hmm.
which one would hit the ground first?"
Well, the laws of physics say they hit at the same time.
Oh, the answer is, who cares?
That sounds like something our...
Doesn't it?
Yeah, our Brookings, Oregon.
I liked it, though.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's why you're the producer, and I get to sit behind the microphone.
That's exactly right. I didn't like it as much as Nick's song, though. And for those of you who did not hear this in the first hour, go to WhiteRoseSociety.org and download the first hour of tonight's program. It was toward the end of the first hour. Rush Limbaugh, Christmas Carol parody to the tune of Frosty the Snowman.
Was it Frosty the Limbaugh,
the white man?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It was priceless.
Yeah, now folks can't get that until, what, tomorrow? Ben
yes, and thank
it,
God for Ben. But, yeah, it'll be sometime tomorrow during the afternoon.
WhiteRoseSociety.org and get into the first hour of tonight's program. And you'll see that amazing Christmas carol that...
Nick from Warsaw, Ohio.
Nick from Warsaw, Ohio came up with. All right. What else do we have tonight, Catherine? I'm about ready to pack it in. I think we've covered enough ground tonight. We still have 10 minutes of the program. Do you want to play some music? You want to play some music or something? Or should we talk again about what time it was in Iraq when Bush brought out his plastic turkey? Well, I'll tell you what. I've got a poem here, Eye to Eye by Jihad Ali, but it's a little bit too depressing for right at the end of the program, so we're going to pass on that. Bush's record on the global AIDS epidemic, we got to pass on that. I don't know. Let's take a break, and we'll figure out what to do with... what do we have when we come back? 2 minutes? Maybe we can do a juggling act. Stay with us. I'm Mike Muller. Never-ending presents really cramps my style. I dream that it won't always be the same. At first I was attracted, but after a while, have you ever heard of the hard to get game? How can I miss you when you won't go away? I keep telling you day after day, but you won't listen. You always stay and stay, stay. How can I miss you when you won't go away? I mean it too.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Chris from Goose Creek, Arkansas. I think he's in a better cell now. Chris?
Hey, Mike.
There you are.
Hey, to finish that Hannity story, he called that woman back.
Yeah.
And he asked her who the vice president was. She would not answer. She handed the phone to her agent, and her agent hung up on him.
He did this on the air?
Yeah, it was all on the air. And of course, he had a little smirking, stupid comment to make afterwards.
What was the purpose of calling her back to ask her who the vice president was, just to try to make her look bad?
Yeah, that's what he does whenever someone who, if they have a segment called Man on the Street Thursday,
yeah.
One of his producers goes down to, you know, to the streets of New York and grabs people off the street and asks them simple political questions. Who's the Secretary of State? Who's the Vice President?
Oh, what? They stole that from Jay Leno.
Yeah, probably.
Right.
I'm sure he didn't have an original idea.
No.
Hey, can I say one more thing, Mike?
Sure.
I want to tell you something. I want to challenge your listeners. I know I don't have to challenge you. I've made a pledge to myself that I'm going to sacrifice money, time, and resources to get every freaking Republican out of office that's in any of my voting districts, Congress, Senate, President. Every freaking Republican is gone. And I'm gonna give money to the Democratic Party. I'm gonna starting next summer. I'm gonna be sacrificing time, flyers, emails, telephones, whatever it takes.
I think a lot of people have made that decision also, Chris, but for those who haven't, that's a good challenge. It's either that or we just declare we Democrats or progressives or liberals or believers in this country or even conservatives who still believe in this country, we just declare ourselves no longer what we have been designed to be and have tried to be over the past 250 years and just give it up and let the Bush crime family take over. So that's a good challenge, Chris.
Well, if they're gonna have to win the next election.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
If you want to live like a Republican,
vote like a Democrat. That's right. Thanks, Chris.
Take care.
All right, sir. Drive safe. We're out of time. There it is. Hey, for those of you holding on, Zachary and Marge and Jim, I'm sorry. We'll get to you tomorrow night. We'll play the music. Go ahead. No, are we still early? All right, there we are. There's the music. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Charlotte Jones. Kind of produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com is our webmaster. Check out his site or check out mine, MikeMalloy.com. And Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans.